2017, last meeting of the year. Now, start the roll call, please.
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
County of Riverside, First District, County of Riverside, Second District, County of Riverside, Third District, County of Riverside, Fourth District?
Here.
County of Riverside, Fifth District?
Here.
Agua Caliente? Cabazon? You have a quorum.
Thank you. Now, we have a pledge of allegiance led by Supervisor of Fourth District, Manuel Berlin. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Please join me in saluting our nation's flag.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It's time for public comment, and we do have two requests. First is Robert Manning. Southwest Fairleigh. Do you want to talk on the rail summit item, or you want to talk public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Many members, I'll make it.
We're gonna hear it either way.
I can't hear anything you were saying, but I'm just gonna talk about save the date for the annual California Passenger Rail Summit.
Okay, you're at the right spot.
Oh, good, thank you. So here we are again. I'm asking everybody to please save the date, April 18th and 19th, to join us at the sixth annual summit as we meet with leaders in the passenger rail industry for discussions regarding the modernization and integration of passenger rail service, service in California. Since the inaugural summit in April 2013, transportation agencies at the federal, state, and regional levels have invested billions of dollars to improve California's high-speed commuter and inner-city passenger rail services. Hear from experts on the status of these infrastructure improvements, policy and planning, safety initiatives, delivery of state-of-art rail vehicles, and the status of transformative projects on the state's passenger rail network. Equipment displays and technical tours will again be part of the 28th summit. Again, this is the California Passenger Rail Summit. It will be held at Los Angeles Union Station on April 18th and 19th. You will be given more information. This is really the largest rail event in California. And I must say, we're gonna be talking about our own train coming from Los Angeles out here to the valley this evening. The timing is perfect. We worked very hard to make this happen. And I think you all remember the event that we held last year where we took the bus train trip into Los Angeles. We're working on something like that again. I'll let you know as this moves forward. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for letting us know. Once again, next is Ty Peabody. IW.
I'm gonna just quickly speak about two things. One, about what I had said at the executive board meeting in April of last year. I asked this board to consider greater oversight of CBAG and asked it to be similar to what's been done at Sunline, who Greg Pettis deserves a lot of the credit of closely watching financial and operational decisions, having a group of council people that can review everything before it ever gets to this committee, so the decisions are made correctly. We had Roy's closed, and we never have explained why we lost $13 million in that, both Riverside County, charities, and the cities. We've had other things happen, like the wall situation in our city where this board, some of the people attempted to go after our city and potentially sue it. Those kind of things shouldn't happen. This should be for the best of all. We shouldn't be picking on each other for those kind of things. That leads me into this discussion of the homeless. I've been working since September to get money down to Indio to help Martha's and CVRM. This This group raised $1.5 million, and I asked them to share some of that money with Shelter from the Storm, Martha's, and CBRM. Right now, Martha's has 68 people from the West End, and CBRM has 38 people. I asked in September of the Homeless Committee to consider giving some of the $1.5 million to these people because they are struggling. And if we're really concerned about the homeless, it's time we did something. And what's happened is, right now CBRM is losing $65,000 of unfunded money. You ask us why Indian Wells gave it to them versus to CBAG's homeless program. It's very simple. They need the money now. And for us to tolerate and allow $1.5 million to sit in the bank at CBAG for homeless and not distribute any of it to the charities that are actually doing the work right now is inexcusable. And it's put a lot of pressure on Elaine's group down there, and it's time that we as the councils did the right thing and distributed some of that money. Fortunately, Desert Healthcare, this last week, because of the discussions with them, has committed $100,000 to CBRM, but Martha's needs help too. And I just ask you to put it on your agenda and discuss distributing some of the $1.5 million, since according to what I've read, $800,000 to $900,000 is needed this year, not the $1.5 million. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Peabody. The next speaker is Savvy Jonathan, who's the Mayor Pro Tem, City of Warm Desert. Savvy?
Thank you so much. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to spend a couple minutes with you, and I'm actually here this afternoon as the chair of the CBAG Homelessness Committee. You know, this is a subject that has generated sincere and passionate debate and discussion, and for good reason. It's an important topic, and there are different perspectives on homelessness. So I want to take a minute and share mine with you. I think we've achieved an amazing milestone, one with that with even the greatest level of optimism I couldn't have predicted would have occurred when we first started out on this path. Our objective, after going through a long process of introspection, was to achieve a holistic and integrated, value-wide approach to finding the solution for homelessness. And we're there. We're absolutely there. In fact, all cities in the Coachella Valley, with the exception of two, have invested in this approach, the Path of Life contract, which is a housing first model with proven success. It is a new approach to the Valley. It is one that contains outreach to the homeless, providing the homeless with housing as a first step, and then with services, matching them to the services that they need. Path of Life has done this successfully in the Riverside area, and we're hoping that they can replicate that success here in the Coachella Valley. I particularly want to thank the cities that have invested. I guess I should start by thanking the cities like Palm Springs, who have taken a leadership role in homelessness from day one and have been there every year with the full $103,000 investment. On Desert and Rancho, or Orange, I think were the others. Anyway, the ones that have always been there, thank you. But especially thank you to the ones that are invested for the first time. La Quinta, Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City at the full amount, and Coachella. Yes, even Coachella saw the wisdom of joining forces. Am I almost out of time?
No, you've got a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, you still have 54 seconds.
Okay,
three.
Sorry about that. and counting. So they saw that vision, they embraced that vision, and we are underway. The important thing that I want to point out to the executive committee is that we're not going to sit there and wonder if this new approach is successful. We've already contracted with HARC as a third-party, independent, objective evaluator of the performance of Path of Life. This was very important to your homelessness committee, and we'll get their first evaluation of performance at our next meeting. If it doesn't work, we're going to go to Plan B. But I have to tell you, as we sit here right now, I'm more optimistic and more excited about the regional unified approach that we're taking to battle homelessness. In my opinion, and I told you I would share my perspective, it's the only way to achieve success. Thank you to all those who have been a part of that, and hopefully those that will be someday. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's our last public comment. Moved item 5 on the agenda, the executive committee and director comments. Before I do that, though, We're going to move the closed session to the end of the meeting so folks don't have to get up and go outside and stand out there and talk and come back in. So that will move that to the end of the meeting, just let everybody know that. Now it's time for executive committee comments, Sam. Remember the committee was to offer a comment at this time, general comment. If not, in terms of the executive director.
I'll be brief. I know we've got a time constraint on the back end of our meeting today. One is Assemblyman Garcia has arranged to invite his colleague, Speaker Randun, went down to the Coachella Valley at the end of the week. He's going to be setting up a series of meetings and roundtables, one of which is likely to occur at CVEC's conference room here on Friday morning. The Assemblyman will be contacting folks and letting them know the details in the coming days. And it'll be related to both the housing bond that's being proposed by Assemblyman Garcia, as well as cap and trade related issues. And I know we've got an agenda item to talk specifically about cap and trade, but this region continues to be frustrated on how little money we're getting out of cap and trade programs. And we do want to change that sooner rather than later. Also want to acknowledge, I don't know if it'll occur before the next city council, next CBAG meeting, but CV Link is well underway, construction in Cathedral City, and I would expect some sort of event in late January or more likely even February, and of course all will be invited, and it's already looking good out there, and I think it's in many ways being used, or perhaps a little prematurely, but it's hard to keep bikers off of the project. I mean, the flat work is substantially done. With that, no other report.
Thank you very much. Then we'll move to discussion action item 7A, Chilla Valley, San Gregorio Pass Rail Corridor Service Update. Riverside County Graduation Commission. Sorry, I went right by the consent calendar. I hope I'm right on that. We have the consent calendar for 6A through 6H. Anyone wish to pull one for comment?
Can I just abstain, Mr. Chairman? You don't have to pull it.
Okay.
Just to indicate Ranch Mirage abstain.
Okay, so noted. Anyone else? Any comments? Okay, we'll welcome the motion to approve. The motion calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, you have a motion?
Second.
And a second from the Desert Hot Springs. Thank you. Maybe a roll call vote or just do it. Is there any objection to the vote? Any objections? Okay, it's unanimously approved except for the abstention.
We vote aye on the other ones.
Right, you're okay. Yes on the others. Okay, so the consent calendar has been approved. Moving to 7A, the Coachella Valley, San Antonio Pass Rail Corridor Service Update, the Riverside County Transportation Commission, and also Dana, do you like to offer some
opening? Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Who's the new incoming chair of Riverside County Transportation Commission.
And for the record, my apologies for cutting you off to begin with. We have Chairman Gruby here with the Agua Caliente Tribe. Welcome, as for the audio record, to acknowledge your attendance.
Thank you. Good to see you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here in my current capacity as Vice Chairman of the Riverside County Transportation Commission. And assuming I don't do anything really stupid in the next 6 days, which I'm perfectly capable of doing, I expect to be chairman being elected next week, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm here today to introduce the executive director of the Riverside County Transportation Commission, Ann Mayer. She and her staff are here to talk to us about intercity rail, which is something that I know our hotel partners are very interested in. I believe any of you, your hotel partners, would be interested as well in terms of economic development. The primary purpose of the train is to bring tourists from Los Angeles and Orange County into Riverside. Of course, we get to use it as well. If you have any reason you want to go that direction, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you do, you can use the train. But the main purpose is to bring the train, to bring the people from LA and Orange here to stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, and leave a lot of money. It's very important, and I'm very pleased that Ann and her staff is here to bring us up to date. And with that, I will introduce the executive director, Ann Mayer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman
Reed, Chairman Ashley, thank you, and my thanks to the CVAG committee. Also, many of you are RCTC commissioners as well, so thank you for your leadership. And certainly, the project I'm here talking about today is an example of what leadership can do when it's determined and persistent in taking a chosen path. And in this case, our path is actually a set of railroad tracks. And I'm really pleased to be able to share some progress with you today on the project. I am joined today as well by Sheldon Peterson, the RCTC Rail Program Manager, and J.D. Douglas from HDR. J.D. is the project manager for the consultant team preparing this plan. So I've got the experts here with me, so if you have any detailed questions, we'll be sure to be able to get you those answers. So again, what we've called this study is the Coachella Valley-San Gorgonio Pass Rail Corridor Study. And it's been underway for a number of years, and I'm here to give you an update. This process has been ongoing, as I mentioned, for a couple of years, and as frustrating as it may be for all of us, and many of you in particular, is that processes like this take a long time. There are a number of steps that needed to be implemented in order for us to get this far, and I'll share a few of those steps with you. But I think what was most important is that this corridor was identified as an emerging inner city corridor in the state of California's state rail plan. Since 2006, getting this corridor in that state rail plan has been a priority for RCTC, and we have endeavored repeatedly. I'm very pleased to say that this corridor is in the state rail plan, and in fact, the 2018 state rail plan is currently out for review. There's a webinar that the state is hosting on Wednesday, so if you'd like more details about that and you'd like to review the state rail plan or provide comments, we can get you additional details. But again, that was such a critical step for us because that's the first step in not only identifying the rail, but also in identifying the money that we're going to be needing in order to implement a project as ambitious as this. We started in 2016 with an alternatives analysis, and it was important as a part of that process to identify what the options were. Between here and the city of Colton, there's only one set of railroad tracks, and those are owned by Union Pacific. But once you hit Colton, there's a number of different ways you can move into Los Angeles County, so we had to look at all the alternatives on the western end of this corridor to determine which would be the most suited to the service we're talking about. We are currently in development of the project's environmental document and service development plan. In the future, we'll be going to preliminary engineering, project-level environmental documents, and in the future, final design and construction of the corridor. Again, I mentioned that it's taken a lot of steps to get here. Prior to having the alternatives analysis completed, we not only had to initiate it and conduct a couple of years of study, but we also, at that time, pursued a grant opportunity from the Federal Railroad Administration, and we were very pleased to receive several million dollars from the Federal Railroad Administration in 2015 to proceed further with the service development and the environmental documents for the project. In July of 2016, we received approval of the alternatives analysis, and the FRA allowed us to continue to the next phase. So I mentioned before that there is a preferred route alternative, and what you're looking at there is the proposed route. The line shown in purple, that is the Union Pacific line, as I previously mentioned, that runs to Colton. And then you can see it will go from Colton in through Riverside along the BNSF subdivision through Fullerton and into Los Angeles Union Station. And determined that this route provides the most opportunities for ridership going in both directions. As you all know, in the tourism business, you share a lot of national and international tourists with the Los Angeles and Orange County area, with many tourists traveling between all of these different areas. So this really is the route that provides the most opportunity for the highest number of riders, as well as making sure that the trip is not so lengthy that no one will ride it because they can do it much faster by car. So it's definitely a balancing act in making sure that it's a real choice for people, that they can choose to get on the train instead of a car, and they can get there in a decent amount of time, not to mention not have to sit in traffic. So again, this is the preferred route. What you see there, the large blue circles and the red dots, those are catchment areas around existing rail stations. So there's existing rail at LA Union Station, Fullerton, downtown Riverside and Palm Springs. Those are existing station locations. What you see there in green, those are the circles that you see are the catchment areas of potential station locations. We are not anywhere near the point where we're ready to start talking about where station locations are, but I can tell you that there will be keen interest in that, and really what will drive those decisions is based on riders. Where are the riders going to be coming from, and where should the stations be located to encourage that ridership? So as a part of the service development plan, it's really a detailed analysis of the specifics. What are the improvement costs? Do we need additional tracks? Do we need additional sidings? Certainly we will need additional station improvements. What are the ridership and revenue forecasts, as well as the financial planning? Probably the single biggest cost associated with this project will be the capital investments needed for whatever rail facilities will have to be built, particularly along the Union Pacific line. And then the final question will be, how will the project be implemented? What will the phasing be so that we can get it up and running? As I mentioned, we're in the environmental process for the project. It's required under both state and federal law. It's important to follow, it's always important to follow the law, but it's particularly important to us from the federal law perspective is because we want federal funding for this project, so it's important that we follow the federal National Environmental Protection Act as well and complete both a state and federal environmental document. The process we're going through right now is for a programmatic environmental document, so it's studying the entire corridor from the Coachella Valley all the way to Union Station. It's not a project level environmental document, what most of you would be used to seeing. This is programmatic, and as we proceed further in the project, we'll have to do smaller project level environmental documents for the actual work, whatever will need to be built. Here are some key dates. As soon as the alternative analysis was approved in July of 2016, we started the service development plan and the environmental document. And in October of 2016, a little more than a year ago, we conducted scoping meetings. We had two of the scoping meetings in Riverside County and another one in Los Angeles. I'd like to point out, we are the lead agency on this project. Riverside is really driving the progress on the project, but it's important to note this project will run through three other counties. So this is a four-county project, and as such, we'll be gathering input and feedback from community members in all of those counties as well. In the fall of 2018, in a little under a year, we'll be back out with formal public hearings on the environmental documents, hopefully with a record of decision in summer of 2019. So while progress takes a long time, I'm really pleased with the progress that's been made on the project so far, particularly the enthusiasm that we are seeing at the state level for implementation of a new emerging corridor. As you know, the state has been very focused on rail improvements, both for north-south travel, but they're very encouraged by the opportunities here. So it's terrific to have a partner at the state, not only at Caltrans, but also at the State Transportation Agency. There's a lot of interest in this, and we're appreciative of their support. So one of the things that we've been trying to do in demonstrating just how appealing a rail service between Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside, and the Coachella Valley could be. We've really been trying to get a special train out here for both Coachella and Stagecoach events. For the past couple of years, we've been working, and Mr. Pettis has been very helpful in working with the AQMD subcommittee, the MSRC, to get air quality funding for a special event train. It's been a complicated process. It's been difficult to implement, particularly because there are a lot of partners, especially one called Union Pacific, where between the grant requirements, the reporting requirements, and the matches required for that grant funding, it was difficult to pull off. What I'm really pleased about, as I mentioned before, we've got a lot of state support for the project. Well, now we have state support at the agency level for us to submit a grant application for special event trains for both Coachella and Stagecoach. They believe that this project, this special event project for a number of years, could be competitive in the state's transit and intercity rail capital program. The source of funding for this capital program is both cap and trade funding, and Tom mentioned you're going to be talking about that, another program under cap and trade. the cap and trade and SB1, the gas tax that recently was implemented. Funding from SB1 will go into this program as well. So there's over $2 billion available in this program. We will be seeking a grant application to run special event trains for both Stagecoach and Coachella. The application, and this is very important, we probably should have this in bold with maybe some stars and fireworks around it, but the application that we're submitting is being supported by LOSAN, and Mr. Pettis serves on the LOSAN board, so the LOSAN is the Los Angeles Santa Barbara corridor, San Luis Obispo corridor. It's the surf liner that runs from San Diego all the way up to San Luis Obispo. LOSAN operates that corridor. They're based out of the Orange County Transportation Authority. They have agreed that they would be the operator of this facility along with Amtrak. We've also consulted with Union Pacific, and we believe that we've got support for these special trains from all of the entities involved, and so we'll be submitting a grant application through LOSAN for these special event trains. The grant awards will be announced in the spring of 2018, and service could begin for the festivals in the spring of 2019. So this is really an exciting opportunity here. We think we have all of the pieces together after many years of trying to put the puzzle together, and we've got a lot of support. We're very appreciative of the support we have at so many different agencies. So this is the exciting news for the day. It's not a done deal, but we will be submitting to the California State Transportation Agency, and how you can help is provide letters of support for the grant application. We are currently working with LOSAN on a template for a letter of support. We will get that letter of support draft out to CVAG so it can be shared with all of you, so that if you are so inclined, letters of support we think will really be valuable as we go through this process, if we think there are any other steps that CVAG or any member entities are that could take to help bolster our opportunity or bolster the competitiveness of our program, we'll certainly let you know. So with that, I'll close my presentation and be happy to answer any questions, or have Sheldon and JD help me answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? She answered just about everything you think of, but there's always a new question. And it sounds really wonderful news, very promising. Looks like we're really on a good path. Just got to just keep working on it. We all need to write our letters of support and help you out once you get the temperature.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And we'll receive and file that. I don't think we need an action. Thank you so much. Nice report. And you guys and me. The Community Choice Education Agreement between CVAG and Desert Community Energy for Implementation and Management Services. Kate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We've made some significant progress since we last spoke on the Community Choice effort. We now have a new joint powers agency, Desert Community Energy, which has selected a logo, and this is the logo for your, with a, I think, a really nice, the power of choice is our tagline. The item before you is two parts to helping move this effort forward. One of those is an agreement between CVAG and Desert Community Energy. And this was actually approved by the board at their most recent meeting in October. This is basically for CVAG to provide administrative and management services for the new joint powers agency. It's very similar to what CVAG does already with the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission. It has been a successful model. And the other part of this is agreements that relate to what's called the exit fee or power charge and difference agreement, adjustment. This is really a charge that relates to the fees that Edison charges to essentially spread the cost of their procured electricity over their departing customers. I'm just going to be very brief, and then I'd like to introduce our new chair of Desert Community Energy. With the CVAG agreement, as I described, this is a management services agreement. CVAG will provide staff support on a hourly basis with the new agency. We also are using a lot of consultants for staff for Desert Community Energy, and we have already selected a very strong management team led by the Energy Authority, which is a public power agency that's active in many parts of this country. The other piece of that is, in order to be more cost-efficient, we partnered with several others, including Western Riverside Council of Governments and LA County, on two other cost-sharing agreements related to the public exit fee. And so the second part of your consideration for items 2 and 3 is agreeing to those cost-sharing agreements. CVAG will support these costs in the near term, and once the agency is up and running, we will be able to be reimbursed for the various costs associated with this. There was some discussion about this at the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, and the changes they requested are described and reflected in your staff report. So I will see if there's any questions, and then as we do have now actually a new chair of Desert Community Energy, Councilmember Shelley Kaplan from Cathedral City.
Why don't we introduce him, and then
yes.
Questions could be for anybody.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee. I'm here obviously representing the Desert Community Energy as the chair of the board at this point. I think this is a tremendous opportunity for the cities that are participating. This is going to be a process because there's a lot of steps to it. It's a very complicated process. There's a lot of technical aspects to it. But I want to express my appreciation for CVAG in terms of their participation so far, Tom and Katie and Benjamin, in terms of all the work that they've done to get us to this point. I think we've got some tremendous consultants on board who really know what they're doing, and we're really looking forward to getting this up and operational.
Okay, it's time for questions. Anybody have a question? How do things look at the PUC?
No more tomorrow.
I have a question.
Yeah.
We've heard that some cities haven't agreed yet. Can we get an update on who's currently in and who's waiting to be in?
Yeah, with DCE, the cities that are officially in are the City of Palm Springs and the City of Cathedral City. The City of Palm Desert is pending a second reading of their ordinance on December 14th. And I do want to note that the pending vice chair, if that all goes well, is sitting in the back of the room. That's Savvy Jonathan as well. The City of Desert Hot Springs postponed action until mid-January. And given our filing with the PUC, formal, if Desert Hot Springs does want to join, their formal acceptance may take another 6 or 7 months because there are certain deadlines with the PUC. I believe the City of Rancho Mirage is moving forward with Lancaster Energy, and the City of Indian Wells is in a wait and see how this all plays out, and perhaps consider DCE or other options in approximately a year. And the City of Blythe is so busy with everything else that they asked us not to bother them right now, but come back and check out on them in 6 months or so. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, any other questions? Anybody?
No, I have nothing to say. I wasn't sure if you called for the vote.
Not yet. Okay, we're going to ask for, if then we're ready for a motion. Yeah, do I have a motion? Anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the staff.
Cathedral City, make a motion, second by? Okay. Yes. Okay. We have a second. Was it Palm Springs? Make the second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Okay, let's do a roll call vote, please.
Blythe?
Yes.
Cathedral City?
Yes.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
Abstain.
Indian Wells?
Abstain.
Indio?
No.
La Quinta?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Aye.
Palm Springs?
Yes.
Rancho Mirage?
Abstain.
Riverside County 4th District?
Aye.
Riverside County 5th District?
Aye.
Agua Caliente?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you very much. Motion passes.
And we move on to item C, the cap and trade advocacy effort. Cap and trade, Erica.
Chairman, committee members, this item relates to a request from Supervisor Perez, who had asked us to bring back the issue of cap and trade funding equity back before the committee. In 2015, the executive committee unanimously authorized CVAC to see some administrative and legislative changes in the state's cap and trade program that would make projects in the Coachella Valley more competitive, particularly as it pertains to the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities program. Be blunt, this region has been woefully underrepresented when it comes to the amount of cap and trade dollars that get allocated here, whether it is through the Affordable Housing Program or other cap and trade programs. So based on the executive committee's direction, CVAC staff has remained engaged in regional advocacy efforts, including partnering with organizations such as Sunline, the County of Riverside, RCTC, Western Riverside Council of Governments, and the Riverside Transit Agency. So we've done some joint letters, and together we've argued that we cannot fairly compete in the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities program because the guidelines disproportionately favor disadvantaged communities in the urban areas. And we've been really outspoken on the need to change the guidelines that relate to density requirements and the existence of high-frequency transit service. And particularly in our rural areas in eastern Coachella Valley, these are non-existent or infrequent at best. So CVAC's position was championed by then-Supervisor John Benoit, who expressed them during a Strategic Growth Council public hearing in Sacramento in 2015. That visit led to CVAC and other agencies hosting a two-day visit last summer, where we show Strategic Growth Council staff both the opportunities and the challenges that we face throughout our region. With help from Sunline, we were able to take the staff on a tour of some existing housing situations, particularly in the eastern Coachella Valley, and talk to them about our regional plans to improve them. This kept the conversation going, but we still didn't see the sweeping changes that we were looking for. So in the last few months, we've been engaged in some more meetings with our stakeholders, and there's a renewed interest in pushing for program changes that we hope will result in some secured funding for our region. For one, Assemblyman Garcia is now on the California Air Resources Board, which is implementing changes to the definition of a disadvantaged community that would allow more communities in the Coachella Valley to compete for cap and trade. So if you look at the map that's on the screen, the red areas are what Cal Enviro screen shows as disadvantaged. And this is a designation that's basically opens up additional funding opportunities. Under the new guidelines that are being looked at, both the red and the blue areas would be able to compete for the money that is set aside for the cost of the funding. So even though we haven't seen the changes in the program guidelines, we're seeing new interest from our member jurisdictions and from the community stakeholders who want us to keep pushing for funding. CVAC staff has reached out to cities about providing letters of support and technical assistance to applications, and we've been having conversations, particularly with the city of Coachella and the county, and our community stakeholder leadership council for justice and accountability, and we just submitted a joint application for transformative communities pot of funding that, if funded, would create some planning documents that we think are needed to compete for funding. So the staff recommendation today is asking for your support for an ad hoc committee that would support the ongoing advocacy efforts, particularly as it pertains to legislative changes and attending some statewide meetings. CVAC's meeting schedule can make it very difficult for us to act quickly, especially when legislation changes. So this would be a chance, this committee would be anticipate would meet on an as-needed basis. It would also be a chance to add voices to regional letters, provide guidance to staff, and share updates to our members when useful. The staff proposal initially was that there would be no more than 5 members representing areas of the region that either have or expect to have projects to compete for statewide cap and trade dollars. The Transportation Committee had a robust discussion on this item during their meeting, and it was the consensus and staff's recommendation reflects that the ad hoc committee should represent both the eastern and western parts of the Coachella Valley, as well as have input from community stakeholders. So the Transportation Committee named 5 elected officials to the ad hoc committee for your consideration. It would be Supervisor Perez, Indio Mayor Pro Tem Mike Wilson, Cathedral City Mayor Pro Tem Ray Pettis, and officials from the City of Coachella and from the Agua Caliente Band of Puglia Indians. The committee also recommended that the support for the project include staff from the City of Palm Springs and Sunline Transit Agency, that we would reach out to them for their support. And based on that, the recommendation before you is to create the ad hoc. At the end of my presentation.
Some time for questions.
I just make a recommendation that we, having talked to the mayor from Desert Hot Springs, that we add Desert Hot Springs also to that committee, because if they do make the changes, Desert Hot Springs will have just as much stake in it as.
What's the determination of staff support from the city of Palm Springs? Have they been in being kind?
That's good. That's what we just discussed.
They weren't sure yet.
Do you have anything?
That was a loaded question. Erica, you want to try to sort that out?
Sure. The comments that were made at the Transportation Committee meeting, and certainly some of the members can weigh in, is that the city of Palm Springs had some experts in this issue, particularly they thought of Marcus Fuller, not to add workload. And so the idea was that we would reach out to them based on particularly Mayor Pro Tem Folks' recommendation.
I'll help you again. Okay.
Sure.
The other questions?
Appreciate the presentation, Erica. And I think that after a conversation that we have with Speaker Rendon and Eduardo this Friday, we'll be able to begin to identify perhaps some key points that need to be made as we move into the future of our advocacy efforts. And so come January, I would think that it'd be important for us as an ad hoc to come together and to start thinking our strategies, because we have, I would say, a few months in the beginning of this next legislative year for us to organize ourselves and to start identifying who we're gonna go speak to up at the state level, specifically different assembly members, different senators, and then different heads of departments, so that we could do everything we can to ensure that we have language that's necessary for us to receive the funding that we need here in our region. So, you know, think about that as a timeline. We'll sit down with the speaker this Friday. You know, we'll think through that and come back come January. I'm thinking because of the holidays. Come January, we'll have an ad hoc committee discussion. Think about some strategies, priorities, who we're going to target, our messaging. And then we begin that process over the course of those 3 months before committees begin to have hearings on different policies. And that's kind of like the timeline there. I would think that perhaps it may take a year. Don't know. I think that we'd have a parallel approach, meaning talking to department heads and administrators on one end, and then on the other end, speaking with legislators, and hoping that towards the end of the year, there is affirmation or agreement by both entities to make sure that we have the language that we need. With that said, I think it's important as well, and we've had this discussion, that we continue our discussions with the Leadership Council and Strategic Growth Council, so that we do have a robust application when it comes to the grants funding for us to receive the dollars that we need to put together a strong strategic plan for the future of those efforts here in this region. It's been proven already that that worked in Fresno, in the Central Valley, and we're looking at that as the model for this region. So that's kind of like in a nutshell how I'm thinking about all this, but definitely would appreciate your ideas, your thoughts, your concerns, open for discussion. But I feel that because of where Eduardo is with his posts, and because of who the speaker is, and I think he's friends and he's friendly, and other individuals, I think that we got a good shot. And so it's going to be a good fight, but it's a good one for us to have. And I also do think at the end of the day, we have a good shot. Just wanted to report that out to folks.
Thank you. It looks a lot more promising than last year.
For sure.
Before, so I hope our chances are good. Any follow-up comments, questions?
I'd like to make the motion.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion by the 4th District, seconded by Cathedral City.
Does that need to be amended to include the agenda?
With the amendment to include the Desert Hot Springs and the membership. Okay, let's have a roll call vote, please.
You may not need a roll call on this.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Anybody, everybody content with that motion in the context? If not, we'll declare the matter as approved.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make a comment because I...
Okay, sure, let's wait. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. You had mentioned that you guys have been fighting this or discussing it for the past year. And we weren't a part of the discussions, but we will be a part of it going forward. I want to thank Supervisor Price for his leadership in this. This is important to this tribe. It's important to this Coachella Valley. And we have a lot of dealings in Sacramento, so we're fully confident that we can help get this going. I challenge you, Supervisor, let's not take a year. We have appointed one of our council members, Anthony Purnell, to sit on this, and we want to thank you as well.
Okay.
I'll help out obviously as much as I can, but because of other things that we're dealing with, I don't have the time to be on this, but we'll definitely behind it 100%. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for your participation in those fine comments. Looks like we've got a chance here. Any objection to the motion? Okay, we'll consider the motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on now to item D. And D is amendment number 3 to the agreement with the City of Indio to improve Highway 111 between Rubidoux Street and 760 degrees west of Madison Street. Eric, you want to make the...
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, committee members. We have a project, a transportation project in Indio that is ready for construction but needs additional funding. This project, as described, goes from Madison, approximately from Madison to Rubidoux, widening Highway 111, approximately, again, 4 lanes to 6 lanes with a few other things included in the design. This project was originally approved for design and construction by the Executive Committee in 2012. We approved time extensions in 2014, and again in 2016, and the project is now ready for construction. And in fact, the City of Indio has already awarded the project to a low bidder, and the amount of the project came in just over $14 million. That was approximately $4 million higher than the original estimate back in 2012. And so after we deduct the grants and other non-eligible expenses, CDEG's regional share is going to increase, or would increase, to a little under $7 million. And so we are asking for an increase of $1.863 million in regional funding for this project.
Okay, any comments, questions? Okay, we're ready for a motion.
So moved.
Moved by the 4th District. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by India. Okay. Surprise, surprise. Okay, is there any objection to this motion? Okay, the motion is approved. Okay. Now, item 8, we have a lot of information items. Unless anyone has a question on the information items, we'll move on to announcements and then go into closed session. Announcements are upcoming meetings. Will be the Technical Advisory Committee on Monday, January 8th, 11 a.m. next year. And then also our second committee will meet Monday, January 29th, 2018, 4:30 p.m. here. And we'll adjourn until that time and immediately after closed session. So if anyone that doesn't need to be in the room, please leave and we'll have our closed session. Council, do you have any?
Just for a moment for the audio record, we're going to close the meeting.
Chairman, we have to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned.
Let the record reflect that we've come back from closed session. There was no report of action taken in closed session, and
the meeting is adjourned.